On this first Monday of March, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Assembly's second-in-command, Majority Leader Jim Steinke, announced in January he will not seek re-election this fall. His chamber wrapped up its floor session late last month, passing a slate of election and voting law bills. They also passed a $42 million replacement for Lincoln Hills, the state youth prison. What would you like to ask the Assembly's Republican Majority Leader? What bills or policy issues matter most to you? 800-642-1234. Representative Jim Steinke of Kakana represents the 5th District in the Fox Valley. Representative Steinke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Let's first start with the redistricting reaction. How do you feel about what the state Supreme Court ruled in favor of Governor Evers' maps? And how do you feel about this outcome?
Well, I think the maps that the governor introduced in court are problematic. First of all, there was no transparent process used in drawing those maps. We're not sure who drew them, how they drew them, or what process they used.
He did wasn't it the People's Maps Commission, you know, having all these people?
No, it was not.
Okay.
No, it was not. The People's Maps Commission were resoundedly rejected by both parties in the legislature. Governor Evers in court used a secret process to draw those maps. Those maps didn't reflect what the People's Maps Commission put out. And there were several issues with them. We think they violate the Voting Rights Act. And they actually drew two senators in together, one that's not even up for re-election. So he doesn't even have a district if these maps go through. So there's several issues with those maps, and that's why we're asking the U.S. Supreme Court to take a look at it.
So on the issue of violating the Federal Voting Rights Act, that taking race into account when they should not have, do you think that SCOTUS, the state, the High Court, the Supreme Court, will take this up?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. We're filing today with the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll see if they end up taking this issue up or not, but it is something that I think both parties have an issue with. Senator Lena Taylor has already said that she's considering bringing the Black Caucus together to file suit in court as well over these maps, because they're concerned with the dilution of the Black vote under these maps.
WisPolitics says Evers' map would maintain Republican majorities in both chambers of the legislature. How much of a difference do you think would the governor's maps versus the Republican legislature's proposals make in future elections?
I'm not sure it'll make a difference. And this kind of goes to the whole point that Democrats in Wisconsin have been complaining for years about gerrymandered districts and how Republicans are, the maps that they drew are enshrining Republican majorities in the maps for a decade or more. Governor Evers' maps do the same thing, and largely because demographics in Wisconsin play a big role in the maps. It's not so much about where the lines are, it's more about how the population is spread out throughout Wisconsin. Vast majority of the Democratic vote is packed into cities. And in order to unpack those, you literally have to gerrymander to increase the number of Democratic districts, because those votes on the Democratic side are so concentrated in urban areas.
Along the lines of elections, last week you took to Twitter promising you would do, quote, everything possible to stop efforts to give politicians power over elections. And on the same day, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, his election probe, released a report calls for the legislature to seriously consider decertifying the state's 2020 presidential election results. What do you make of the Gabelman report?
Well, that part of the report I disagree with wholeheartedly. I mean, everybody that's taken a look at this said that that's impossible to do. I think it's actually, even if it were possible, which it isn't, I think it's dangerous to put politicians in charge of deciding elections. There's nobody more self-interested in elections than politicians are. And if you can imagine, if we had one individual that was in charge, one partisan politician in charge of determining whether an election was valid or not. You can imagine what the issues could be coming from that. The political pressure, especially over the course of the last couple of years, would be enormous on a single individual, especially somebody that's a partisan. And it's just a bad idea.
Along those lines, you also said about this 136-page Gabelman report that, as you say there, decertifying the election, that you called it a fool's errand, but you also said to focus on the future. And I'm curious, what does focusing on the future entail?
It entails looking at, you know, doing some of the things that we've done over the course of the last year or so. The Nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau, which is a gold standard in the legislature, took a look at this last election and found a number of issues that where election officials or the Wisconsin Elections Commission didn't follow the letter of the law. And it's a serious issue. Now, I don't believe it would have any of these issues would have resulted in the election results being different, but perception in many cases is reality to people. And without that confidence that the law is being followed, that leads to some of these questions that people have surrounding the election results. So we should follow those Nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau recommendations. And that's what we did in a lot of these bills that we put forward, and hoping that the governor finds a way to sign them, although he's vetoed most of them that we've put forward to this date, or all of them, actually.
Well, Governor Evers has said repeatedly over and over that any new laws making it harder to vote is a non-starter with him. And so, you know, you and your colleagues in final day of work on the floor put forth all of these election and voting bills, and all other things fall off the table as a priority. You know, do you think that something will change? And why would you do that when you know that the governor doesn't want to make voting harder?
Well, none of these bills make voting harder. It just requires clerks, voters, and the Wisconsin Elections Commission to follow the law. I don't think that's too much to ask. It's not about making voting harder. It's about making people follow the law when they are voting. And I think that's the least that we can expect out of our election system. Again, this is a nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau recommendations. Most of the time when the Legislative Audit Bureau comes out with recommendations, we put forward bills, and they are bipartisan in action on the floor a vast majority of the time. This is the only time in my memory where recommendations from the LAB have come out, hit the floor, and been partisan. It's just not something we normally see.
Before we move on here, your constitutional amendment that you wrote saying only U.S. citizens can vote, that is also federal law. Wouldn't that be duplicative?
No, not at all. So the federal law ensures that only U.S. citizens can vote in federal elections. As we've seen across the country, New York being the latest example, in local elections, states have the ability to determine who gets to vote and who doesn't. And in New York, they just enshrined in law the ability for illegal immigrants to vote in local elections. This is something that I don't believe is right. I don't think a vast majority of people in the state or the country would believe that it's right to have people that are here illegally voting in local elections. So what we're trying to do is tighten that language up in the state constitution, because it says that we're turning that from U.S. citizens may vote to only U.S. citizens may vote in state elections. So it's a pretty simple fix, and I think it'll have broad bipartisan support once it hits the ballot in probably 2023.
Jim Steinecke with us in the State Assembly. Majority Leader represents the 5th District in the Fox Valley. You can join in 800-642-1234. What would you like to ask the Assembly's Republican Majority Leader? Is there a bill you wish lawmakers passed before closing the sessions? Give us your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Eric now in Madison. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Jim, What's your feelings on the $1.1 million Russian oligarch money that was donated to Walker and funneled through Scott Walker? GOP is a disgrace to the country.
Okay, Eric. And so, Eric, wondering feelings on dark money in politics there. What is your take there, Representative?
Yeah, I have no idea what he's referring to, but I mean, obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with the Ukrainian people right now. I think the United States as a whole needs to stand together with Ukraine as they fight this unconscionable war that Russia has forced upon that country. We're seeing incredible amounts of pain and suffering and civilians being murdered throughout that country by the Russian regime, and that's got to come to an end.
Talking with outgoing Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke on this half of the State Capitol report, did legislation you care about advance this session? What about marijuana legalization, election and voting laws you're watching? What do you want the state to do with its budget surplus? When should it use its rainy day fund? Questions there. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Representative Jim Steinke here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke, the second-ranking Republican in his chamber, announced in January not seeking re-election, and he joins a group of veteran lawmakers from both parties who have stepped down or have decided not to run again in November. What do you want to say about this moment in Wisconsin politics? Can the legislature work together to pass bills affecting you and your community? Still time, 800-642-1234. Representative Jim Steinke with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to John now in Appleton. John, hi, what's on your mind?
Good morning, and thank you each for your service. Say, in 2015, Wisconsin passed Act 302, which prohibited municipalities from putting laws down to make their areas greener and cleaner. It took away local control to ban single-use plastics. Currently, Assembly Bill 342 and Senate Bill 349 seeks to overturn that law passed back in 2015. I'm wondering if the representative has comments on this. Why this continually gets put up by Katrina Shanklin and it goes nowhere?
John, thank you for that question. Representative Steinke.
Yeah, thanks, John, for the question. I appreciate it. I mean, the truth is, so the act you're talking about went into place a number of years ago. Obviously, it had the support of a majority of the legislature at the time. The bills that came forward this session did not have a majority of support in the legislature. And if you follow the activities of the legislature, the only bills that make it to the floor for a vote are bills that do have majority support. We don't put every bill on the floor. We don't put bills on the floor of the Assembly or the Senate that don't have the support to pass. So unfortunately, the authors of those pieces of legislation didn't have the support necessary to bring them to the floor.
John, thanks for the question. Let's look at marijuana legalization and that path. Marquette University Law School's latest poll found for the first time a majority of support among Republican-leading residents for legalization. What are your feelings there, and what do feelings look like in your caucus for passing some form of legalization legislation?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I you know, obviously other states throughout the country are moving in that direction. I think that's likely the direction at some point that the state of Wisconsin goes. I think it's more likely that legalization occurs when it comes to medicinal marijuana, using it for the purposes of alleviating pain and treating some illnesses. Recreational marijuana, I think, has a much tougher path to get through the legislature and eventually signed into law. But I do think we're heading in that direction. It's just finding the right the right legislation that is tight enough to pass that medicinal marijuana, something I've always been a supporter of.
Well, along those lines, let's go to Rana in Cameron. Hi, Rana, or is it Rona?
Hope you had it right first. It's Rana.
Rana, thank you. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and good morning to your guest. I've cared for my father for 3 years with debilitating Parkinson's, and I've been extremely frustrated by the fact that medicinal marijuana was not available to him through the state of Wisconsin. It would have greatly alleviated some of his issues. And I'm just really wondering if there's any relationship to the marijuana being blocked for usage in Wisconsin on any level, if it's being blocked by the Wisconsin Tavern League, because they have such a chokehold on so many people in our state, that I'm wondering if it's part of it is their power blocking, bringing relief to so many Wisconsinites. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Rana, thank you for that question on the power of the lobby.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Rana, and I'm sorry to hear about your dad. I don't believe that's the main issue. I think the main issue is really the ability of the legislature to craft a medicinal marijuana bill in a way that doesn't open up the door wide to recreational marijuana. I think that's the biggest concern amongst lawmakers and law enforcement in general, that it doesn't, because, you know, a medicinal marijuana bill doesn't become a de facto recreational marijuana bill. And that's one of the challenges that we've faced over the years in trying to craft something that would help people like your dad without making it, basically a recreational marijuana bill. We've had some challenges trying to write language that's tight enough to just keep it to the medicinal purposes.
Talking with Jim Steinke, State Assembly Majority Leader, represents the 5th District in the Fox Valley, taking your questions on legislature and the look ahead in his chamber, 800-642-1234. Rick is joining us from Rhinelander. Rick, hi. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm concerned about the Gableman investigation. I believe it's a waste of the taxpayers' dollars, but more importantly, the representative had mentioned that perceptions are realities with the electorate, and I think that's true. And I believe that the Gableman investigation is more prejudicial than probative. I don't think there's any question about the 2020 election. The courts have examined this. There's no substantial fraud that would have changed the outcome. And it appears to me that the entire reason that the Gableman investigation exists is simply to continue with that perception that there was somehow some malfeasance or what's been called the big lie that Donald Trump keeps continuing to spout. And unfortunately, it gets echoed with the majority of the Republican legislators. And I just would like a comment about how you can justify spending $750,000 to continue this.
Rick, thank you.
Yeah,
Representative.
Thanks, John. I think the fact is that it is a vast majority of Republican legislators in the state have not continued to say that the election was stolen. There are a couple of our members that are pushing hard in that direction, but a vast majority of our members understand what happened in the 2020 election. And while there may have been some issues that along the lines of what the nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau reported, I think a vast majority of our elected officials here in the state believe what I believe is that while there were some issues, it doesn't rise to the level of affecting the overall results. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't address those issues that nonpartisan agency found in their audit report. So that's one of the things that we've got to focus on going forward, because there is a segment of Wisconsinites that have serious concerns about the what went on in the 2020 election. And that's what we've been fighting to uncover and show them, that while there are some issues, didn't likely affect the result. But we're going to do everything we can to tighten up those issues that were found in that nonpartisan report.
Rick, thanks for the call. I want to move on. You co-chairing the Speaker's Task Force on Racial Disparities. And this year we saw Governor Evers sign into law some of the policing bills originating from your task force. How do you feel about the work and what you accomplished there?
It's one of the things I'm most proud of in my tenure in the legislature, beyond even the topic, which I think is important, being able to show that a Republican legislator working with a Democratic legislator can bring people together, sit around the table to discuss very difficult issues, very emotional issues, and figure out a way to come to consensus around those issues. And I don't know that any of us would have predicted the success that we had, especially early on going in, right after the Jacob Blake incident, and how
the shooting of Jacob Blake in 2020.
Yeah, how heated those conversations were. Coming out of that, it's very difficult to make headway on issues like that when they are so heated. But we were able to bring law enforcement together with communities of color and have discussions over several months, and each side, kind of giving, learning from each other and figure out a way to come to consensus. So we've seen a number of those bills that were introduced become law already. The Senate just passed another set of laws that we had already passed through the Assembly that are headed to the governor's desk, and hopefully we can get a signature on those, because I'm really proud of law enforcement in this state and how they do their jobs, and I'm even more proud that they came to the table and listened to people from communities of color and how they can make their profession even better.
Representative Steinecke, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Kate.
Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinecke of Kakana, first elected to the chamber in 2010. Just ahead, we talk with the author of a new book exploring the Flat Earth conspiracy movement. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.